Australia has been taking multiculturalism as part of its national policy. Do you think the COVID-19 has actually challenged such multiculturalism?
Okay, I just wanted to draw the links between cultural diversity and media diversity here. And this is in relation to some of the things that I have been talking about particularly, and also in one of the opinion pieces that hasn't quite been published yet, but I can briefly touch on that couple of points. If you look at what has happened for the last couple of years with the fact that the former Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull, which is a Liberal Prime Minister, and Kevin Rudd, which is a Labour Prime Minister, sharing the similar views on Australian media ownership and also its implication on the Australian media diversity. I think that itself is alarming because people read news every day, whether it is through online or whether it is paper. And when you have a company like News Corp, according to Malcolm Turnbull, which operates like a political party, working closely with the right-wing politicians to influence policy and elections, I think that itself speaks a lot. And of course, Rudd was saying about the fact that Rupert Murdoch was the kind of the greatest cancer of the Australian democracy. Now, we can't talk about cultural diversity without actually talking about media diversity. And I think it's important that all of us, I think this is not just within the journalism circle, but to educate the wider public and the general public about things like how do you critically challenge the information that you are getting from the news, whether it is the source of the news, whether it is the author, but more broadly, the organizations that is publishing these. Don't forget that we also need to be able to differentiate between an opinion piece and a news article. So I think this is often the case where people kind of follow somebody, and I'm referring specifically to a media personality, which is quite influential in their opinions and thoughts. But at the same time, it shouldn't be taken into as a news, rather, because this is more of a personal opinion. I'll stop there.
I'll add a few points. I think a question that we need to ask is, what is multiculturalism? And if we think about it in Australian history, yes, that policy, I believe that policy, the multiculturalism, the term was created by Justin Trudeau's father, I think it was, or the Canadian president, president's prime minister's father created that term, and this was coined, in the 80s, that Australia would be also a multicultural society. And I think the question is, have we ever been a very multicultural society? And it's actually more than just having different cultural communities in Australia, and whether this term is still valid or not. And I think those questions need to be asked when we talk about multiculturalism. I think the term cultural diversity is a lot better, but also we need to be inclusive, and whether these terms are also inclusive of, say, Indigenous Australians, and whether they have been excluded when these terms are implemented in Australia. But I think, I echo what Thompson's mentioned, but I also think that one of the biggest challenges that Australia faces, and something that it has not confronted, is that it hasn't really confronted the racism issue. It hasn't really had government, hasn't really initiated a proper conversation, a public conversation about issues around racism in Australia. And we have to face the facts that, racism has been in Australia since the first colonial settlers came to Australia, committed genocide and everything else against Indigenous Australians. But also, when we talk about in Asian history, for example, we can even look at the first Chinese who came to Australia during the Gold Rush period and what they went through. Then there was the White Australia policy, which, the more official term is the Immigration Restrictions Act, which was instituted during Federation, and then how long but this policy lasts in Australia till about what, 1973-74, just before the Racial Discrimination Act was introduced in a bipartisanship between the Labor and Liberal, Prime Minister and opposition leader at that in the 70s. And then we have Hansenism, and then we have Islamophobia. And then so all these things have been happening. So, and the problem is Australia hasn't confronted the issue or haven't had that public discussion about racism. So before we even, say that, consider or say that Australia is a multicultural society or is, we need to confront that question about racism in Australia and what can we do about it, and what are the accountabilities of both media and those in leadership positions. But also I think just my final point is just touching on what Thompson just mentioned about looking at the demographics of those who are reporting the media, are we culturally diverse? And I think, I can't remember the statistic, but there was a report that came out by, I think it's called Media Diversity, and they put out a report about the lack of diversity among particularly news TV hosts. So those in front of the screen. So look at shows like Sunrise and things like that. Where is the diversity? And I think that, first of all, is a question we need to ask in the media, but also in all other facets of Australian society. If you do not have a culturally diverse leadership in all decision-making roles in Australia, then you will never grapple the true meaning of what cultural diversity means, or back to the other term, multiculturalism.
Following from what Erin highlighted earlier, network, and also what Thompson highlighted about the media in Australia, I do have to agree that the message is very important, because my recollection at the beginning of the pandemic and when things was really fresh and hectic in China, the message that the local media were calling it Chinese virus or China virus instead of the name itself. So this kind of message does create a different perspective towards things, and may affect or may increase, the racism among the Chinese residents in Australia, especially. So this kind of message really needs to have a more, I would say, fairer point of view, and. To also add on was the international student, where they need to reach out and create the network or build that network, especially now during this isolation. And I think at the grassroots level, local institutions or all the institutions have student organizations. Some of them even have society clubs. This is the time for them to be more proactive, to reach out and start to educate those international students who are relatively new in Australia about how things are, because I can imagine how hard it is for students, international students, especially now during this isolation and relatively very new to the place, and at the same time hindered from getting to know how Australia is. This is the time for us to start reconnecting with them, and it's vitally important for us to reach out as much and support these students.
If I may quickly add on to some of the points there, just to Erin's point about diversity in the leadership positions, and if I can point you to the statistic by the ABS, the Australian Bureau of Statistics, the point that there are about 3.5 million Asian Australians in Australia. And of course, if you put it into a ratio with out of the 25 million total population of Australia, that is about 16.6%. 1/6, of course, not 60. 1/6 16.6%. But if you look at the percentage of the Asian Australians in leadership positions, whether it is in politics, in parliaments, or in the multinational business private sector, or in general, I think we have an answer in terms of how diverse or how undiverse it can be at the moment. Now, I just wanted to add that Australia is very good in having a very great piece of legislation, whether it is for international students or for the wider community as a whole. I think the issue that we have to address here is that how effective are those policy in being translated into actions and for the benefits of the community. Let me just give you more example besides the Racial Discrimination Act 1975. Now, for international students, there is a publication by the Australian Human Rights Commission, and this is back in 2012, where I was kind of involved in. It's called The Principles and to Promote and Protect the Human Rights of International Students. Now, I think this is a great piece of documents that illustrates Australia's is a country where it actually promotes human rights, including for non-citizens, such as international students. But again, first question is that how many people actually know about that? And second question is that how effective have they been in empowering international students, but more broadly empowering changes for the benefit of the international student community? Even within an education provider's institution perspective, Education Services for Overseas Students, ESOS Act, is again another consumer protection or consumer rights for international students, which actually says that international students can take their education providers accountable if they are not providing what they are actually providing, particularly in a pandemic situation like this, when it comes to how quality of education may or may not be compromised as a result of the pandemic. So my point here is that I think Australia do have great pieces of legislations, but question is that whether or not it has been effective in being implemented for the benefit of the community.